Take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of John, John chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for bringing our preacher back to us. But most of all, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, we stand before you in great need today, our country, our world, and even our church. Lord, we need you in a special way today. Please fill our preacher, fill us with your power as we listen. Change our lives so we could go out and help more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I, in recent days, have been surrounded by the thought of birthdays. I'm going to preach a sermon to you this morning I call Happy Birthday. I, on August 10th, turned 50 years of age. I don't think anybody's going to let me forget about it. And so I am now officially 50 years young. I was reading a book by Douglas MacArthur. He said, don't let the number of years you've lived bother you. He said, you know if you're old if you spend all your time looking back at what you've already accomplished. You know if you're young if you have your sights set on the future. So you have a young pastor today because of the fact you would not believe what I have planned for your future around here. And so I'm excited about what God's done in our church and what he is doing. Not only did we celebrate, or am I in the process of celebrating my 50th birthday, we had a new grandson born, Jeffrey Allen Owens III. He was born on my birthday. And as a result of that, Brother Tim Brown and I were the grandpas here. We spent 2 days at the maternity ward waiting room. That is one of the dumbest places in the world to spend 2 days of your life. We watched commercial after commercial after commercial on television. We would have thought we were the fathers. We're pacing up and down waiting for that baby to be born. And while you're there for 2 days, we were at Jefferson County out of the hospital, and you heard new babies coming into the world. First thing that someone does is some woman slaps you. That's not right. It's not right. Every baby born gets slapped by a woman right away, and then it just occurs all the way to death. And but we heard new babies coming into this world, and I had my Bible with me and had pretty well already decided what I was going to preach this morning. Had a sermon already, but boy, the thought of birthday just kept coming to my mind, and I think the Lord had that to be the case. Our granddaughter Alexandra celebrated her 4th birthday, and we had a little birthday party. Mrs. Owens has her birthday on August 17th, and I've just thought about this thing of birthdays over and over and over again. In a moment, I'm going to take us back to John chapter 3. It's the birthday chapter of the Bible. I'm going to get to it here in just a minute. But, you know, I don't know if you know it, but everybody's supposed to have more than one birthday. And some of you say, hey, that sounds good. Maybe we could have one a month. No, you just need to have two in life. I'm going to talk to you about them for a little while this morning. I got to studying and researching and looking at the different birthdays in life. There's a man by the name of George Washington. You've heard of him. He was born on February 22nd, 1732. His wife, Martha, was born June the 21st of 1731. Most people didn't know it. Martha was older than George. Don't spread that. That would be an embarrassment to him, I'm sure. But it did happen that way, and we know George Washington is the first president of the United States. Eli Whitney. Eli Whitney was born December the 8th of 1765, a great inventor, and you can be grateful for Eli Whitney. Thomas Jefferson was born April 13th of 1743. Paul Revere, in his midnight ride, he was born on January the 1st of 1735. Betsy Ross. And God bless Betsy Ross for the old red, white, and blue flag that's probably hidden by those black 50, and when you get my age, you forget words and things like that. Those morbid black balloons celebrating the 50th birthday. But Betsy Ross, the one that put our flag together for us, was born January 1st of 1752. Davy Crockett, that frontierman, August 17th, 1786 was he born. There's a man by the name of Shubal Stearns. He's born on January 28th of 1706. You say, well, I don't know that name like I know some of these other names. You can thank God for a man named Shubal Stearns, one of the greatest revivalists in the United States of America, church planters, seen thousands and thousands of people saved and planted churches all over the country. The great poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was born on February 27, 1807. Our president, Ulysses S. Grant, April the 27th, 1822. Buffalo Bill was born on February 26 of 1846. The great Abraham Lincoln was born on February 12 of 1809. Thomas Edison, born on February the 11th of 1847. Alexander Graham Bell, born on March the 3rd, 1847. These are wonderful births. I'm going to tell you about some more in a moment, but you have to understand something. All of these people were born once. But if they were not born twice, they went to hell when they died. Because you're not to be born just once. You've got to be born again. Dr. John R. Rice was born December 11 of 1895, the founder of the great Sword of the Lord newspaper. Dwight Moody was born February 5 of 1837. Adolf Hitler was born April 20 of 1889. Billy Sunday, the evangelist, was born November 19 of 1862. The great Lee Robertson was born November 24 of 1909. Walter Cronkite, who went down in history, was born on November 4, 1916, the newscaster. Ronald Reagan, who I believe was one of the best presidents ever in the United States of America, born February 6 of 1911. Lester Roloff was born June 28 of 1914. Jack Hiles was born September 25 of 1926. But you have to understand something. All these are names, and there some are good names, some are not as good names. But let me tell you about every one of them. They were born once. But if you're not born twice, you don't go to heaven. Every person in this building this morning, you've been born once. You were born of your mama. But if you don't get born of God, you won't get to go to heaven. As I go through this list, I wish I had time. I'd give you the dates of many of them. Many of these people profess to have known Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Some did not. Adolf Hitler, you heard that name. He did not profess Christ as Savior. You say, what does that mean? When he died, because he had only been born once, he died and went to hell because you got to be born twice to go to heaven. We read earlier from John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is where we find that famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world. In John chapter 3, it is maybe the most famous chapter of the entire Bible. It's a conversation between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is an unsaved man. In other words, Nicodemus had been born once. But this conversation is taking place, and though he had been born once, he had not yet been born a second time. So Nicodemus is unsaved. If you've been born once, you're unsaved. If you've been born twice, you are a saved person. Jesus tells Nicodemus, in a conversation that he's having, Jesus says to him, you've got to be born a second time. He is recommending to Nicodemus that he have a second birthday. He's saying to him, now Nicodemus, you have been born once, but being born once is not enough. You've got to be born twice if you want to enter into heaven. Nicodemus questions this matter of being born a second time. He said, can a man be born when he is old? Well, the answer is yes. You are born once young. You come forth from your mother, and you're a brand new baby, 9 months or so old, and that's your first birth. But everybody gets born later in life that gets born again. Some children get born again at the age 4 or 5. But I've got good news for you today. You say, well, I'm 70, or I'm 80, or I'm 90 years of age. I've got good news for you. When Nicodemus asked the question, can a man be born when he is old? The answer is yes. You're not going to be born physically again when you're old, but you could be born spiritually when you're old. Any age person can get born again, and thank God for it. Nicodemus' question is a good question. I'm glad that he asked it. Jesus said, Nicodemus, now you've been born once, but you're going to have to be born again. Nicodemus said, well, how in the world? Look at me. I don't know how old Nicodemus was. He might have been 30, 40, 50 years of age. He said, but how am I going to get born? I'm old. And Jesus told him, you've got to have two birthdays. You've got to have a physical birthday, and you have to have a spiritual birthday. Jesus tells him 3 different times in John chapter 3 of the need of having a spiritual birthday party. He tells him verse number 3, says, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He tells him in verse number 5, he says that a man must be born, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now let me explain that. He wasn't saying that you get born again by getting baptized. When it talks about being born of water, that's your physical birth. You see, a baby inside a mama's tummy, there's a sack of water that becomes a shock absorber in there. It's bubble packing, if you will. And that baby's bubble packed in there in a sack of water, and that's what keeps that baby safe when mama's, you know, a baby sloshing around in there, learning how to do the backstroke and how to swim and all that good stuff. Well, that's what it means. You've got to be born of water. That means you're born of your mama and of the Spirit. That means you're born again. That's that second birth. And that's what Jesus is describing. And so he says to Nicodemus in verse number 3, you've got to be born again. He says to Nicodemus in verse number 5, you've got to be born again. He says to Nicodemus again in verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Jesus repeats it 3 times. Now, God shouldn't have to repeat anything, but over and over again, all the way throughout the Bible, God talks about this matter of people needing to be spiritually born again. I'm saddened, but you know, you can go to churches all around the country, they don't talk about getting born again anymore. They don't get people saved anymore. They have church get-togethers, they have fellowships, they do all sorts of wonderful things. They feed the hungry, they clothe the naked, they have music, they do all sorts of things. There are churches you can go to week after week after week, after week after week after week after week after week, and they don't see anybody born again. Nobody presents the gospel anymore. What in the world's wrong with us? We ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. You could shut down all the food kitchens and all the clothing closets. You could shut it all down and not hurt someone if you're telling them how to be born again. And I'm not for shutting all the soup kitchens down, and I'm not for shutting down all the clothes closets where everybody can go and get clothing. I'm just telling you, if we're doing everything but getting people born again, you're going to have clothed, fat, trashy people dying and going to hell because you've got to tell people how to be born again. A church ought to be getting people saved. A church ought to be influencing people for Jesus Christ. Churches have become way too religious. They become way too professional. They're almost competing with each other to impress people. Well, our job is not to impress people. Our job is to keep people out of hell. Jesus 3 times says, you must be born again, and to this one man. See, the Bible says that in heaven, they throw a party when somebody has a spiritual birthday. They throw a party. The Bible says in Luke 15:10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That says here, when somebody gets saved, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Now, that, a lot of times we refer to the angels, say, well, every time somebody gets saved, all the angels, they clap and they cheer. Now, that is probably true, but that's not exactly what that says. It says there is joy in the presence of the angels when somebody gets saved. Who's in the presence of the angels? That's Jesus. When somebody gets born again, Jesus in heaven throws a birthday party. He says, look at that. Somebody just got saved. Look at that. Somebody just got born again. Hey, who's in the presence of the angels? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They throw a birthday party every time somebody gets born again. I say this from time to time. Around here, we believe in getting people saved. We believe in the old-time religion. We believe in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love it. I love the thought that on Sunday mornings, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can look over the banister of heaven, look down at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and they've got their party hats already. They've got their noisemakers already. Somebody might say, what are you waiting on? They say, we're waiting on invitation time down at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church because they still believe there's a heaven, and they still believe that there's a hell, and they still believe that you ought to keep people out of that hell. They still believe somebody's got to tell people about Jesus and getting saved. What are the party hats for? Somebody's going to have a birthday party in just a few minutes. Around here, we have birthday party every Sunday, about 12:15. That's where people getting born again. In this story, we see Nicodemus was told three different times, you've got to be born again. You've got to have that spiritual birthday. You've got to have a spiritual birthday party. I think that God so much enjoys and appreciates people getting saved, obviously because of the cost of the gift of salvation. Look what it cost him. God gave his son. And he made it possible for people to be born again. There are some birthday parties in the Bible. They're all the way throughout the Bible. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let me read to you the time of his birthday party. I'm not talking about when he was born physically. I'm talking about when the Ethiopian eunuch got born again. He got that second birth that he had to have to go to heaven. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But they went on their way. They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right there is the spiritual birthday of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now notice here, the eunuch said, Philip was talking to the eunuch about being born again. They were talking, and the eunuch said, hey, right there's some water. How about you baptize me so I can go to heaven? And Philip had to say, no, you get born the first time by water. The second time, water has nothing to do with your birth. See, the second time is that spiritual birth. See, we're a Baptist church, and there's a baptistry back here, but that water back there won't get you to heaven. It will not get you to heaven. And the eunuch said, stop here and baptize me so I can go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that by getting baptized you go to heaven. Baptism comes after your salvation as a step of obedience. It's a testimony, the fact that you got saved. And so they're riding along. They're in the chariot. They're talking about heaven. The eunuch used the best scripture knowledge that he had. He said, here's some water. Why don't you baptize me? Philip said, I can't baptize you because you got to get saved first. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What was that? There was him receiving Christ as Savior. I don't know what happened at that point, but I can tell you this. Right there was the Ethiopian eunuch's birthday. Yes, there is birthday number two. The Ethiopian eunuch has now trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I don't know. Maybe Philip said, Pull this chariot over. Maybe he's saying, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ethiopian eunuch. Happy birthday to you. And in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had their party hats out. They were wing-dinging their noisemakers around. And everybody said, look, it's a birthday party. Down there at that chariot right there. See, You were born once. You were born of water. You were brought into this life through your mama. But you've got to be born again, and that's not through your mama. That's through your Savior. There's another story, a birthday party in the Bible. A blind man, the Bible says, had a spiritual birthday. In John chapter 9, verse 35, it says this, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him, and Jesus said, For judgment, for I am come into this world, that they which see not, might see. Here's the story. Jesus had healed a blind man. When he did, the Pharisees got a hold of it and chased this blind man off. They were trying to squelch any influence that Jesus had of any type. And so, a blind man had been healed. He was given back his sight by Jesus. The Pharisees run this blind man off, say, You get out of here. Jesus went and found the blind man and said, Listen, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, Who is he? I want to believe on him. And Jesus said, I am the Son of God. He said, Then I believe. At that very moment, this blind man, he had a birthday party right then and there. Now, in this case, I said earlier, the Bible says in the presence of the angels, anytime somebody gets saved, they throw a little party. In this case, this guy got to get in on the party. Now, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were up in heaven saying, Look at that. They're throwing another birthday party right down there. That blind man. Hey, but look who's with him. Jesus was actually right beside him when they started the birthday party for this blind man. But let me tell you, you've been born once. Everybody here, you've been born once. That's not enough. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a second birth. You've got to have another birthday party to celebrate every year. There's a man by the name of Saul. We know him better as Paul. He too celebrated a second birthday. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, it says, And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city. This man by the name of Saul, he was a persecutor of Christians. And the boy, he was out, and he actually put Christians to death. One day, he was walking down the Damascus Road, and there was a light in the road, and that was God. That was Jesus. That was the presence of God. And Saul realized he was a bad man. He falls to the earth, and he realizes that he's in a sinful state. And he says, What am I supposed to do? What do you want from me? And that was God. And he said, he called him Lord. There's a picture there of this man named Saul trusting Christ as Savior. I won't go into the whole story. I believe right there when Saul falls down on that road, he was the enemy of God. Now he has suddenly had a change of heart. He has submitted to God. And we see there, tucked in that story, the birthday party for a man that later was called Paul. But we see, he had a birthday party. I don't know what happened. I don't know when he got up. I don't know. Somebody said, Hey, I'll tell you what, buddy. You just got born again. Let us take you down to Bob Evans. We'll get you a hat and buy you a birthday meal. But I know this. I know that he was an enemy of God. He gets born again. Suddenly he becomes the friend of God. And you see that Paul had a spiritual birthday party. I like birthday parties and I like all of that, but I'll tell you this, folks. You talk about an occurrence in your life you ought to celebrate. You ought to all be remembering the day you got saved. You ought to remember the day that you got saved. That's a very important day. That's a very big day. That's the day you bypassed hell. That's the day that in heaven when you got saved, they threw a party up there. The price that was paid so that you didn't have to die and go to hell was a lofty price. It cost God everything. It cost him his son. And he made salvation available to you. You see, I see an Ethiopian eunuch. He threw a birthday party by a river and they were riding around in a chariot. We see that a blind man had a birthday party. Jesus was right there when he got born again. Saul was on a road by himself, and God shows up, and there's a birthday party for this man by the name of Saul. Later, his name was changed to Paul. I think when somebody gets born again, that truly makes it a happy birthday. That makes it a happy birthday. I mean, when somebody that was on their way to hell gets born again, that is what a happy birthday is really all about. Stay with me, if you will, please. Let me say, first of all, God wants everybody to have two birthdays. I've said this already, but listen. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Notice there it says, "For God so loved the world." I'm saved. God didn't just love Jeff Owens. Brother Bush is saved. God didn't just love Brother Bush. God didn't just love you. God didn't just love me. God loved the whole world. God wants everybody to be born again. God wants everybody to experience a second birthday. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I like that word "all" in there. That all. What's that mean? All includes you. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to have a second birthday. There ought to be, at every church in America, every week, an invitation given for people to attend a birthday party. You say, whose birthday party? Their own. Their own. Churches, they're going to have their doors open. They ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. They ought to be getting people born again. Why? God wanted the whole world saved. God just didn't want me saved and just didn't want you saved. The whole world. He wanted everybody saved. God loved them all. He wants everybody saved. Hey, if you have not had a spiritual birthday, you ought to get one today. You ought to make today the day of your spiritual birthday. I believe this. I believe it would be worth everything. I have no idea how much money it takes to keep this church going from week to week to week. I know that we spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars reaching people and reaching out to people. But no matter how many thousands of dollars we spent this week or how many thousands of dollars we spent this year, if only one person would have a spiritual birthday party today here at this church, it would make it worth it all. It would make it worth it all. If you're here this morning and you say, "Well, I know I was born once, but this thing about being born a second time, I've never taken care of that." Do it today. Do it today. Take care of it today. Get a birthday party going for yourself right here today. And we're all for it. We're for it. Hey, the minute you get saved, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're going to pull out the party hats, start spinning their little spinners, and the rest of us inside our hearts, we're going to be going, "Hey, that's good. Hey, we're having a birthday party." For who? For you. If you're not born again, you ought to get saved. You need to get you a spiritual birth certificate. When our newest grandbaby, Jeff Owens III, was born, they have a certificate of birth. Proves that that baby was born that day, at that time, what that baby's name is. I think, does anybody know, does it have mom and dad's name on it? Does the birth certificate have mom and dad's name on it? When you get your spiritual birth certificate, God writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life up in heaven. The moment you get saved, you say, "Well, who would the parent be?" God the Father. God the Father, you're becoming a part of the family of God. And that's a real good family to be a part of. Hey, listen, God wants nobody to go to hell. God wants everybody to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, "But Brother Owens, I'm a pretty bad person." Hey, you're on your way. You have to admit you're bad to get saved. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me tell you something. There's some pretty ornery rascals in the Bible that need to get saved. You just take this fellow by the name of the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul. He went around massacring Christians. Now, I doubt that you've been around murdering Christian after Christian after Christian. That's what Paul had been doing. But Paul had a spiritual birthday. You say, "You mean God the Father would allow me to get born again when I'm a mean, old, dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner?" Those are the only kind of people that He saved. It's sinners. Sure. You see, God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody needs to have a second birthday. God wants everyone to trust Christ as Savior. If you go to hell there, let me tell you something. If you go to hell, you know you'll be an intruder there. God did not create hell for human beings. Hell was created as a super torture chamber for the devil, and the one-third of the fallen angels that rebelled against God got cast out of there. You don't want to go there. But you've got to remember something. One birthday is not enough. You have to have two. You like this. A couple have not been getting along for years. So the husband thinks, I'll buy my wife a cemetery plot for her birthday. Well, you can imagine her disappointment. The next year, her birthday rolls around again, and this time, he doesn't get her anything. She says, why didn't you get me a birthday present this year? He replies, we haven't even used one of these yet last year, yet. I'll tell you, when you get born again, you say, what's my birthday present? You don't go to hell and you get to go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. You talk about a birthday present, one that you can't exchange. You don't need to exchange it. There's nothing better that you can get. Everybody here must have two birthdays. If you've only had one, it's time for you to plan another. You say, what should my second birthday be today? This very day, you ought to make today the day of your second birthday. I remember well my spiritual birthday. I don't remember anything about my first birthday. I don't remember anything at all except for being struck by a woman that I did not know the minute I came out. I've always had a flinch around women ever since then. But now my second birthday, I watched that one happen. You didn't really get to watch yourself born the first time through. But your second birth, you get to watch it happen. You get to be a part of it. It's your choice. I didn't have any choice first time. I'm just here. Second time through, my choice. Now, let me explain something to you. If you don't get saved and die and go to hell, that's your choice. If you get saved, you let Christ save you, you get born into the family of God, that's a good choice. It's a good choice. I was 16 years of age. I'd been going to church for many, many months. Truth is, I'd heard the gospel, and I'd kind of piddled around with salvation. Somebody told me how to be saved, and I prayed a prayer. I didn't mean the prayer. Wasn't serious about the prayer. Wasn't serious about understanding the gospel. And I'd been going to church for some time, though, and the people in the church would have said, oh, that guy right there is saved. He's saved. But I wasn't. I wasn't saved. I remember going to church one night. And after, I forget what the preacher preached, but after he got done preaching, I was under what we call conviction. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew that that little thing, that whatever I had done some months before, that I didn't get saved. I don't want anybody to doubt your salvation. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. But I'll tell you this, I was not saved. And I knew I was not saved. Somebody had tried to lead me to Christ, and I was goofing off during the prayer, wasn't paying a bit of attention to what they were saying, wasn't serious in my heart about it. Then I walked away saying, yeah, I prayed the prayer of salvation. But you see, it's not just praying a prayer, it's meaning it in your heart. That's what the Bible teaches. Here I am, 16 years of age. I had been going to church. Most people would have said, oh, that guy right there is saved. I came home after church one night, and I am telling you, down inside myself, there was some pressure going on. It's called conviction. I went home, 546 West North Street, Winchester, Indiana. I went up to my room. My room at that time was out on a little landing that led into a couple other bedrooms. A big window there. I could see the street light, kind of a misty night. And boy, I was tossing and turning, and I thought, boy, I'm not saved. Now, I know about the Bible, but I'm not saved. I've even talked to others about Jesus, but I'm not saved. And I just knew, as sure as I'm standing here today, that night I felt like, if I don't get saved tonight and lay my head on my pillow, I will wake up in the morning and I'll be in hell, because I felt so much pressure about this thing of truly being born again. I pulled out, I had a little New Testament that the Gideons had given me, a little red one. I pulled it out. I had marked the verses in my Bible to show someone how to be born again. I knew to take them to Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23 and 5:8 and 5:12 and 6:23 and 10:9 through 13. I knew all the verses. I had four steps on how to get somebody saved all lined out in my own little Gideon's New Testament. And I mean, I was sweating. I was there in my room and I thought, my goodness, people think I've saved it, but I didn't mean it, and I wasn't serious about it, and now I feel like if I don't get saved, I'm going to die, and I could die tonight, and I would go to hell, and I needed to get born again. I pulled out that little New Testament, and I said, God, I'm going to show myself exactly what I've shown others. I'm going to show myself, I'm going to walk myself down what was called the Romans Road. That because all the verses come from the book of Romans. Boy, I show myself that everyone's a sinner. I said to myself, I said, Jeff Owens, do you understand you're a sinner? And I said, yes, I do. do. You understand that sinners die and go to hell? I said, yes, I do. I said, do you understand that Jesus Christ died for sinners and He came born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. He gave His life. They crucified Him, buried Him. He arose from the grave to make salvation available. Jeff Owens, do you understand that? Do you accept that? Do you understand that is going to be the payment of your penalty for your sin? I said, I understand that. I understand that perfectly. I took myself to Romans chapter 10, and where the Bible says that I've got to believe in my heart. And then I took myself there, and I realized that I was a sinner, and that I need to ask God to forgive me of that sin. I need to receive Christ as Savior. And after I got all the way through all the verses, I said, you need to pray and mean this in your heart and ask God to save you. I bowed my head. I closed my eyes. I talked to God. I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know if I die right now, I go to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. I know that Jesus died for me. And He was buried for me and resurrected for me. And He makes heaven available to me as a free gift. And I want you to forgive me of my sin and forgive me for never trusting you as Savior. Come into my heart. And I now receive Jesus Christ and Him alone to take me to heaven someday when I die. And I said, thank you for saving me. Amen. I got up off my knees and I was saved. And I had a birthday party. That was my second birth. That was the day that I became a born-again Christian. And I know there are people out there, you doubt your salvation here and there, and I always want to help you with it. The Bible teaches once you get saved, you're always saved. But I have to tell you my testimony. My testimony is, from that night, that one night, after church, on my knees, by my bed, to this very day, I have never again doubted my second birth. You see, I told God that night, I said, I believe this, and it's true, I'm claiming it, and I'm going to remember this night for the rest of my life, and I have. That was my second birth. Now listen, you don't have to, I'm telling you, honestly, I don't know the date. Now I know my first birth was August the 10th, 1960. You say, 1960? Happy days, Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, I realize that. I know that it is recorded at the courthouse in my hometown the date that I was born. I know that's there. I cannot give you the exact calendar date of my second birth. But I'll tell you this, my second birth is more sure to me than my first birth. I watched it happen. Now, I'm pretty sure I was born the first time. But I'm here to tell you that the courthouse down in Winchester, Indiana, logged my first birth. But I've got a court and a judge that is more powerful than anybody in the United States of America. My second birth is recorded in a place called heaven. And the record's there, the Lamb's Book of Life, it's recorded there, and God oversees my second birth. You would have a better chance of taking my first birth away from me than you could take my second birth away from me. I'm born again. That night, I threw me a birthday party. If you've not had a birthday party for yourself, you ought to have one. You ought to get you a second birthday party. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus came to earth so that men could have spiritual birthday parties. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What? Uh-huh. That verse tells us that Jesus came to this earth. Why? So that people could have spiritual birthday parties. There were many benefits to His coming, and they are wonderful benefits. I'm glad Jesus came. Glory to His name. He is a friend of mine. But let me tell you something. The greatest benefit of Jesus Christ coming to this earth is so that you and I could say, hey, I have a spiritual birthday. You see, He healed the sick, and I'm glad that He did. But His main purpose of coming to the earth was not just to heal the sick. I'm glad that He healed the sick. I'm glad that He did that. He healed the sick, but His main purpose of coming to earth was so that you and I could have a spiritual birthday party. He made the lame to walk, but that was not the main purpose of His coming to earth. The main purpose of His coming to earth was so that you and I could have a spiritual birthday party. He made the blind to see, and I'm glad that He did. But He did not primarily come to make the blind to see. He primarily came to save the lost so that you and I could have a spiritual birthday party. He made the deaf to hear. And when he did, that was a wonderful thing. But his main purpose of coming to earth was not to make the deaf to hear. His main purpose of coming to earth is so that you and I could have a second birth so we could have a spiritual birthday party. He made the dumb to talk. And I'm glad that he did. But I'm here to tell you something. That wasn't the main purpose of Jesus Christ coming. Jesus Christ came primarily so you and I could have a second birth so that we could have a spiritual birthday party. He fed the hungry. I'm glad. Anybody that can make the lame to walk, I'm glad for that. The blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to talk and feed the hungry, I'm glad for every bit of that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's more important. You say, how do you qualify more important? The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, if that was Jesus' biggest priority, I'm going to guess that's a pretty big priority. He walked on the water. He did some miracles. I mean, wonderful things that he did, walking on the water and all the people that he helped. But his primary purpose coming to earth was to get people born again. The whole Christmas story, the whole Christmas story is about God's love for man and his desire for you to have a spiritual birthday.
Yes, sir.
Everybody celebrates Christmas. They do everything that they do around Christmas. Let me tell you what Christmas is all about. Your birthday. You say, what? Uh-huh. Jesus came born of a virgin. What was it? It was a part of the plan to get you a second birthday. His Christmas birthday party, and that's what it is. Christmas is the birth of Christ. Around here, we don't believe in crossing Christ out of Christmas and call it Xmas. We're going to continue to celebrate Christmas as Christmas. But his whole birthday party is all about you having a birthday party. The birthday of Christ is about you being able to have a second birth of your own. I was thinking this morning, how many of you know that great Bible, that famous Bible character called Frosty the Snowman? You all know about Frosty? Can I tell you one of my favorite parts of the Frosty the Snowman cartoon or show? It's when Frosty's born, he says, "Happy birthday!" You all know that part? You don't know the scripture. You don't know nothing about God. Hey, listen, if you're not saved, you ought to be able to say happy birthday to yourself today. Happy birthday, lost person. You may have been saved once, but you may have been born once, but you've got to be born twice. You have no choice, but you must be born again. Now, our church is committed to helping people have spiritual birthday parties. We're a partying bunch of people around here. We like spiritual birthday parties. So you understand, let me tell you what that means. We're a soul-winning church. We're a gospel-preaching church. We have a lot of fun things around here, and we have so many things going on, and baseball leagues, and so many things going on, but let me tell you something. Nothing is more important than making sure people are having spiritual birthday parties. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. The Great Commission was a charge given to the local New Testament church. And folks, you and I hear this, and some of you out there, you're sitting there and say, oh, humdrum, preaching the gospel again, telling people how to be saved again. Can I tell you something? You know, all over the country, people don't do this anymore. They don't do the simple thing of being honest with people about a heaven and a hell and how to get there. Again, churches have become religious organizations that have ceased to be soul-winning institutions. People are just shocked to death. You know, if you told somebody, well, last week we had 18 people walk the aisle and get saved, they might think we meant last year. No, we meant last week. When we talk about thousands and thousands of being saved, they think that's an exaggeration. No, it's not an exaggeration. It's not an exaggeration. We believe in having spiritual birthday parties. We believe in that. We believe that's important. And our church is a church that's committed to helping people do it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, we're after souls 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year. Thousands are saved as a result of it. We support soul-winning missionaries. You know what soul-winning virtually is? Soul-winning is a search for prospects for birthday parties. While you're out, you know, basically this is how we ought to see people. We ought to wonder if they've had two births or one.
Amen.
Everybody you come in contact with, ask yourself this question. Two births or one? Two births or one? If you're around somebody, they've only had one birth, you have a birthday party opportunity on your hands. Tuesdays, our ladies go out at 1 o'clock doing what? Throwing birthday parties? Every Thursday night at 6:45, our adults and teenagers go out doing what? Throwing birthday parties. Every Saturday, our bus workers meet. Well, they meet and we all rally together to do what? Go out and try to throw some birthday parties. You see our party buses? Painted red, white, and blue. Those are our party buses. You say, what are you doing? We're influencing little boys and girls to have a second birth so that they can get born again. See, I thank God for the churches that will have a 2-week revival and try to get somebody saved. Folks, we have 52-week revival. There's some that think that if you have 2 weeks and have a revival, and somebody comes in and presents the gospel for 2 weeks, I don't even think they have 2-week revivals anymore. There, we've done our duty. We had 2 weeks and somebody come in and present the gospel. Folks, people are dying and going to hell 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days out of the year. We better get out there and strum up the people who've only been born once and help them to get born again. We believe in throwing those spiritual birthday parties in Sunday school. You know what we do in Sunday school, and every Sunday school teacher here, don't you ever stop this. Every week that you're teaching Sunday school, you got to be looking at your class and asking yourself, one birthday or two? One birthday or two? You ought to be eight bus captains. You ought to be looking at everybody that gets on your bus and ask yourself this question. I wonder if they've had one birthday or two. One birthday or two. Because anybody that's only had one birthday could die and go to hell, and that should ever be the case under our watch care. You say, but it might be a little bit embarrassing for me to approach them and ask them, hey, how embarrassing is it going to be for them when they die and go to hell? One birthday or two, ask yourself this question. The postman, one birthday or two. Person that you work by, one birthday or two. You see, I believe the Bible teaches very clearly that we're to be throwing birthday parties. We're to be throwing birthday parties. First of all, God wants everybody to have two birthday parties. I said secondly, I remember my spiritual birthday very well. Thirdly, Jesus came to earth to help people to have a second birth or to have birthday parties. Our church is committed to people having birthday parties. I like this. A young couple had been arguing about what new vehicle they would buy. He wanted a big truck, but she wanted a sports car. After about an hour, the woman had to leave and said, look, all I want is something that goes from 0 to 200 in less than 4 seconds. My birthday's coming up next week. Buy me something that will surprise me. A week later, she opened up her present, and he gave her a new bathroom scale. That's that thoughtful gift that keeps on giving. Let me warn you, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, number 5 this morning, the devil hates a church, a pastor, and a people who throw spiritual birthday parties. Can you imagine somebody that hates birthday parties? Hates them. Devil hates them. Satan, Lucifer, hates birthday parties. He hates them with a passion. He'll do anything to stop a church or a people from throwing birthday parties. You know, Peter, the great Peter from the Bible, he was a spiritual soul winner. Jesus warns Satan that Jesus warns Peter that Satan will be out to get him. The Bible says in Luke 22:31, it says, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Can I tell you something? I think Jesus knew of the great influence that Peter would have. And Jesus says to Peter, said, Peter, you're going to keep a lot of people out of hell. You better stay on your toes because the devil's coming after you. You're going to throw too many birthday parties. You're going to make him uncomfortable. It was God who chose Peter to write 1 Peter 5:8, where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Look, if you're in our ranks and you're winning people to Jesus Christ and keeping them out of hell, the devil hates it when you help people throw birthday parties. The devil will try to keep you from getting people born again. He will oppose you. A soul-winning church will be opposed by the devil and by hell in an exceptional way. You said after the day of Pentecost where 3,000 people were saved, the Bible teaches that because that church had 3,000 saved, they were persecuted greatly. It says in Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. What happened? You go out and get 3,000 people saved. Do you think the devil's going to be happy about 3,000 birthday parties all in one day? If the devil gets ticked off about one birthday party in a day, how infuriated do you think the devil becomes when a church has 3,000 birthday parties in one day? A church that is getting people saved will be opposed by the devil. A church that's getting people saved will be opposed by the devil more than churches that don't get people saved. Why? Well, the whole issue of Jesus coming was all about getting people saved. You take our college. You say, what kind of Bible college are we going to have? A soul-winning Bible college. We're gonna train young men and young women to spread all across this world and keep people out of hell.
Yeah.
So what's gonna happen? Then the devil's gonna oppose a college that throws birthday parties all the time.
Yeah.
You take our conferences that we host here. Our whole goal is to influence churches to be soul-winning, aggressive, Great Commission churches. When we have an Old Paths conference, our purpose is to train pastors and people from their church to be soul winners. Our youth conference, we're going to train. We had over 100 young men and young women surrender their lives to full-time service. You say, well, what were they surrendering to? Well, our plan is to get them trained to be soul winners to keep people out of hell. Now, that means if we're training people to throw birthday parties at the Old Paths conference, the devil's going to fight it. That means if we're training people to be soul winners at our youth conference, the devil's going to fight it. I was thinking about our ladies conference that's upcoming in September. It's called a birthday bash. The theme of our ladies' conference, the theme song is Born Again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. What's it all about? Don't you think the devil would like to see something like that shut down before we start teaching people to be soul winners? Why? Why? Because, hey, the devil doesn't mind you being born. What? He just doesn't want you to throw a second birthday party. He'll try to stop any pastor, any church, any soul winner, any conference, any Bible college that's keeping people out of hell, because the devil hates birthdays. He hates that second birthday. Let me encourage all of you. Don't forget that day. That time of your spiritual birthday. Testify about it. Tell people about it. Remember it. And thank God for your spiritual birthday. And I told you this before. You don't lose your salvation. Once you trust God, once you trust Christ as Savior, you're saved. The Bible says in John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that you're saved. The Bible says in John 10:29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You don't get born again and again and again and again. You just get born again. Just like you don't get physically born and then physically born another time and then physically born another time and physically born another time. No, you get physically born once, you get spiritually born again, and that's it. But you ought to remember that time. And you say, I don't have the date. I can't write down a calendar date. Okay, but you ought to be able to go to it in your mind and say, right there, that's what happened right there. That's when I got saved. That's when I got born again. Finally, and I'm finished. All of us ought to be seeking those who need to have a spiritual birthday party. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs 11:30. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. Folks, you and I that have had two birthdays, we owe it to the rest of the world to go find the thief that have only had one.